The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
If you get excommunicated from a church, have they removed you from fellowship with Jesus Christ? What an interesting question. That's the one we're going to talk about today on Grace in Focus. Hey, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. By the way, if you've got questions like the ones that you hear on the show, you can send them to us and we'll take a stab at them. You can reach us through email, radio@faithalone.org. One more thing before we get to today's discussion. We have our National Bible Conference coming up very soon. If you'd like to learn more about that, you can go to faithalone.org and click on events. Well, let's get right to this interesting discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm well.
Are you having a good day?
So far.
Today's a great day.
Amen.
Okay, let's see here. This is a question from Levi, and he says, Matthew 16:19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. My question is, if you have been excommunicated from the church you once belonged to, have they bound you out from fellowship with Jesus Christ? This is a great question because, you know, Roman Catholics will say, you know, Peter, which somehow along the way historically Peter passed this power on to the Bishop of Rome somehow.
Even though he wasn't the Bishop of Rome.
Even though we have no record of him even being in Rome. But anyways, somehow it gets transferred from Peter to the Bishop of Rome. And the whole idea of there being a bishop over a city also is just not from the Bible.
Unless you use the term bishop as elder, and then it was multiple elders. So
yeah, but anyway, so they'll say, see, the Pope has this power, and it gets passed on from Pope to Pope, I guess, to, you know, you get locked out of heaven, you know, if we have that power to do that, which can be very scary. I mean, that was used to, you know, keep people under their thumb for hundreds and hundreds of years. You know, if you don't do what we say, we're going to excommunicate you. And if we excommunicate you, you are going to the hot place. You know,
right.
So that was really scary for people for a long time. I don't think that's what the scripture means, but we do have to explain what it means. So
no,
what is it?
And Levi is not saying that we would be bound to Hades or the lake of fire.
Right, he
says
makes it a fellowship.
Out of fellowship.
Yeah.
And what I would say is neither is true. If a church excommunicates someone, or sometimes it's called disfellowshipping,
yeah,
that neither affects their eternal destiny nor whether they're in fellowship with God. What really matters is what God thinks.
Yes.
In other words, a local church can be dead wrong.
Right.
Or a global church like the Catholic Church can be dead wrong. And so if they were to excommunicate you, that could be a good thing.
Yeah.
Or disfellowship with you, that could be a good thing. In fact, I've seen some people who were kicked out of their Amish community.
Yeah.
For some violation or other, or because they were questioning the teachings of one of the elders. And so rather than putting up with someone asking questions, they just excommunicate them.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably, at least from some of the people I've heard, it was a good thing because it led them to be open to the fact that maybe this isn't the true understanding of Christianity. And so what I would suggest is if you're excommunicated or disfellowshipped from a church for a cause, well, then God can use that to bring you back to fellowship with Christ. But there's obviously no loss of eternal life. So a person who's born again and gets disfellowshipped or excommunicated is still born again.
Right.
But they're no longer in fellowship at their local church. And they're probably, if the local church is right, then they're not in fellowship with God either they repent.
Right. So that's what I wanted to point out. Like, what if the local church is right? And I think you've said often that you thought 1 John 1:7, which refers to walking in the light. And I don't know where Zane gets this, or you and Zane. Walking in the light means going to church and hearing sermons at church, a specific church on Sunday morning.
I don't think Hodges or I would say it's attending a particular church, but in the early church, okay, nobody had the Bible for themselves, right?
Right.
They didn't have the Old Testament. They certainly didn't have the New Testament.
Yeah, they're just poor
so
slaves,
where
yeah.
they heard the Bible taught
yeah.
was at their local church. So I think the reason why Zane or I would say that is because it seems in Scripture that the local church is the place that God envisions where gifted men will instruct the body.
Yeah.
And so like Hebrews 10:23, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as is the manner of some.
So God's teaching is presumably going to be happening at church. And so to walk in the light, you need to be a part of a church that's teaching what God has to say.
Now, it's gotten complicated today, right? Because people can go to Bible studies.
Yeah.
People can listen to podcasts. People can watch sermons on TV. I just want to give a little warning to everyone that listening to our podcast is not church.
It is not.
And so God wants you to attend a local church or else start one in your own home or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's God's will, and it's clear in Scripture that's God's will.
Yeah.
However, there's nothing wrong with you listening to podcasts,
no.
watching sermons on YouTube, even watching sermons from other churches on Sunday.
No.
But you really need to find a local assembly because there's accountability.
I don't think people really understand just how important the Christian community, the body of Christ, is to the New Testament in terms of how we live together, how we grow, how we serve God. We have this kind of individualistic view of all that, but really God puts us in a body and wants us to function in a body to do all these things. The body is not dispensable. You know, the body is, God is going to have a body whether you're going to be part of it or not, you know.
That's good.
So here's my question, though, with Levi. There are warnings in Scripture. Like Paul, when he's talking about disciplining someone in Corinth.
Right.
It's like you're either in the church or I'm handing you over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh.
Right.
You know, and so that church discipline is a pretty sobering, scary idea.
Right.
So coming back to the question, is that what Matthew 16:19 is about? Or,
well, Matthew 16:19 is where the Lord says, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church.
Yeah.
A lot of people think the rock means Peter. I think the rock is Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it, that is, against his church. I will give you, and this reference to you in verse 19 is singular, the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Although that is talking to Peter and about Peter, you have the same thing in John 20,
okay.
It's said to all the apostles. Look at the end of John 20, where he talks about the remission of sins. Verse 23, he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Well, now we're talking about all of them, not just Peter.
Okay, so now I'm noticing something. There is a difference, I think. In Matthew 16:19, there's really nothing about forgiveness here.
That's a good point.
It's about the keys to the kingdom of heaven, which that's weird too. You know, a lot of people immediately assume, well, this is the church on earth. But, you know, as good dispensationalists, we'd be like, no, the kingdom is its own thing.
Right.
So what would the keys to the kingdom be?
You know, I tend to think these are parallel, this section and the other, and it's related to forgiveness of sins and not forgiveness.
Like 2023 is definitely about forgiveness of sins, you know, and you're forgiving people in a way.
In John 20, yeah.
Yeah. But Matthew 16, I'm not quite sure what the binding is. But you think it's forgiveness of sins, maybe?
Well, I think that makes a lot of sense. The other option could be something along the lines of evangelistic. As we proclaim the message of eternal life, those who believe will be people who will be in the kingdom, and those who disbelieve will be those who are excluded from the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
This could even be national, because remember, they're going to reoffer the kingdom to the nation of Israel during the book of Acts, during the beginning chapters of Acts.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. And Israel kept on rejecting, and as a result, in 70 AD, the nation was destroyed, the temple was destroyed, the people were dispersed, and it wasn't until 1948 that Israel became a nation again.
So,
that could relate to Israel.
You have this statement, you know, he's going to build the church, but then you have the keys of the kingdom of heaven, what have you bind on earth? And I'm thinking about Peter on Pentecost, and he seems to reoffer the kingdom to Israel, and you know, it's like,
well, for sure in Acts 3:19.
I mean, it's not it's not super clear. It's like times of refreshing, and you think
right.
to yourself that
that's Acts 3:19.
Well, probably
yeah.
times of refreshing. Maybe that means the coming of the kingdom. He doesn't actually talk about the kingdom literally.
Well, that's part of the problem about interpreting scripture.
Yeah,
many of the things are veiled references.
Yeah,
and so you have to try to put things together, but. Whatever Levi thinks Matthew 16:19 says, it's saying nothing about the fact that the apostles have the ability to send people to the lake of fire.
No.
Or even to keep them out of fellowship
well,
with God.
He's asking about fellowship, but it sounds like you, I would have thought you did think it has to do with fellowship, because if it's about forgiveness and your fellowship depends on forgiveness and they could stop you from being forgiven, they can stop you from being in fellowship.
Okay, they would in that sense, but let's say the person is indeed repentant.
Yeah.
Then the apostles can't say, well, we don't care. We're going to go ahead and keep you out of fellowship. No, they don't have that power.
Right. Good point. I mean, just as there's a jump from saying Peter gets this thing to now all the bishops of Rome get this power, it's also a jump from saying Peter gets this power, now the elders in your local church have it.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
right.
it's just, that's also a jump. You need to explain that somehow. It's just a weird verse.
Right. Yeah, I agree. But it's not teaching that Peter was the first pope, and it's not teaching that somehow Peter can give everlasting life to people who don't believe, or he can take away fellowship with people who are walking in fellowship.
Right,
so
right, right, right.
Whatever it's saying is not saying what Levi is concerned about.
I would give this show, what, a 6 out of 10? 5
yeah.
out of 10?
Probably 2. Should we?
That's kind of the excitement of being able to discuss this stuff and ask these questions. I mean, I like it. I mean, I would love to have a place where you can just do that. Now that I'm talking about it, I think we're going to try to offer a class, aren't we, in Free Grace Theology?
Come September, October, yeah.
September 2022, and it'll be an online class. So as soon as that information is out there, go to faithalone.org and for updates about this future class, and it's going to be some nominal fee.
Well, we're thinking of charging $200, but then saying if you go all the way through to the end and get at least a B in the class, we'll refund your $200. And if
yeah.
you're overseas, it's $50.
Yeah.
And if you go through to the end and get at least a B, we'll refund your $50.
Right. So if you like this type of conversation, be sure to go to faithalone.org, sign up for our blog so you can get regular updates about it. And thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, was Jesus telling the woman at the well that she needed to get rid of sin before she could have eternal salvation? I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.